This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Now, we've got our next studio guest with us, Carla. Who have we got?
We have Luke Seven. Is that how you say your last name?
That is indeed.
I should have checked that before you came in. who is a cellist and a composer and will be performing a piano and cello piece. Well, you obviously won't be on the piano, but you'll be performing with other people.
Oh, come on. You can't play the piano as well
and cello at the same time.
With your toes.
Sadly, no.
That would be amazing. At 75 Reed Street in Fitzroy North, which is a place that I haven't heard about before, but we can get into all of that in a minute. How did you become a cellist?
It's a bit of a roundabout story, actually. I was a ballet dancer.
We love roundabout stories.
Yeah. I was a ballet dancer from the time I was four up until the time I was 14. And I actually ended up getting quite sick when I was about 11. Mm. And I had to stop dancing for a while. I continued dancing a little bit after that. But in the meantime, I took up the cello because it was something that I could do that was sort of somewhat sedentary. I could sit down while I played it. And it just became the thing that I did. And I'm still doing it now. So it must have gone well.
Do you miss dancing or...?
Yeah, definitely. Watching dance is something that's, you know, both... It's always been kind of bittersweet. Yeah, absolutely. Because you... Like with anything, like with a musical instrument or whatnot, the second you stop practicing something, you lose so much facility.
Of course. Especially with, you know, like dancer, there's so many disciplines, isn't there?
Absolutely. Yeah. But working with dancers as a musician is something that I really, really enjoy doing.
Oh, okay. Well, of course. It's a nice way you could do it.
Yeah.
And do you do that very often?
Rarely at the moment, but I have done some different projects in the past. But I've got lots of really good dancer friends who allow me to indulge them with my music.
So, so why cello?
It was one of the first things that I was really drawn to.
So you were looking for something to fill that void whilst you were kind of infirm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Finding a creative outlet. So you thought a musical instrument.
Yeah. At the time, I was having trouble standing up for anything longer than a couple of minutes, and I noticed that you could play the cello sitting down. In fact, you have to play the cello sitting down. So that just became what I did. I asked my parents. I said, can I one of those? And, you know, they go, wow. Like, oh, it's a bit big, but they agreed after much nagging. And
and all the study that goes with it, learning music. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So I started having cello lessons when I was 12.
Yep.
And then I went to, a few years later when I was 15, I went to the College of the Arts Secondary School, where I studied with Josephine Vaines, who's a fabulous Melbourne-based cellist who I believe has been on this program before.
She was here a couple of weeks, last week maybe.
I think it was actually last week. Yeah. So she was my teacher.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, was there something about the cello? I mean, or did you hear somebody play the cello that attracted you to it?
Well, interestingly enough, one of the pieces on this program was... I didn't really have that kind of lightning bolt moment before I started lessons, but shortly afterwards I went to, I was just out with my mum at Kmart, and they were sort of selling off lots of their old CD stock, classical music CDs for $2, and I found this recording of the Jacqueline Dupre and Daniel Barenboim playing the Brahms sonatas for cello, which is actually one of the pieces that we'll be playing on the program.
Ah, okay.
Full circle.
It's really nice. And that was slightly after the fact, but definitely a light bulb moment for me. I was like, oh, I have to keep doing this.
Mm. And you're also a composer. So did you go to, you went to do further study in music, gathering?
Yeah, I went to Monash University, and I also studied privately in London with Russian cellist called Karina Georgian.
Wow.
Who was, pardon the pun, instrumental in...
so good.
Yeah. In giving me the voice that I the cello voice that I wanted to have.
Because with it's classical music in particular, you often have to travel the world, don't you?
Yeah.
And you're like, did that excite you or did it terrify you? Or
Both. And it still does both. I'm really lucky to get to travel. I'll be in Canada at the end of the year doing some performances. And
with an orchestra or?
No. It'll be some chamber music performances. So I'll be playing as part of a piano trio. We'll be doing some Beethoven trios, and I'll be playing one of my own works as well, which is really nice.
Right.
But it equally, thrills and terrifies me every single time I go to get on a plane. I'm like, but you get over that very quickly once you're thrown into, particularly a work environment. But yeah. But that's one of the other really nice things about this program as well, is that the pianist who's joining me is from New York City, and he's flying here to play.
And how did you know him before? Or
yeah, we knew each other through a mutual friend of ours who's a violinist who I perform with and who he grew up knowing, and we became very fast friends once we got to know each other. This will be our first performance as a duo, but.
That would be very exciting.
It's really exciting.
Yeah.
It's,
and because, a lot of people in the classical music world tend to stick with being in an orchestra. Mm-hmm. You're sort of pushing the boundaries and also making it harder for yourself, aren't you? Financially.
Certainly, yeah.
And because, there's that whole thing of the safety net of an orchestra where you don't have that.
I think one of the best pieces of advice I got given was from my singing teacher, actually. She said, if you don't learn to do this kind of freelancing work, if that's just what you really, really want to do, if you don't learn to do it now, you never will.
Mm.
So go out.
You'll be institutionalized.
Get rid of the safety net. Operate without it for as long as you can and as long as you want to, and you'll be really, really surprised by what you achieve. And she hit the nail on the head, really. It's been the best thing that I could have done.
Because you're pretty young still. How old are you?
I'm 26.
Right, okay. To do what you're doing at your age is do other musicians look at you and go, little smart ass? Is that the way they look at you?
I don't know, you'll have to ask them.
Apparently we'd known last week.
You should have asked my teacher.
So you've got these Friends by the Fireplace performance coming up. Tell us more about that.
The name for the recital was inspired by the venue, actually. In the auditorium at 75 Reed Street in Fitzroy North, it's a fantastic, beautiful big hall, and they've got two big fireplaces either side of the stage. I was like, I know where I'm going to do a winter concert. So,
fireplace for you, fireplace for you first.
Exactly, absolutely. That was the name of the program. But the Friends part was between myself and Evan. We'll be playing one work by Evan, which will be the Australian premiere of his cello sonata, and a new work that I've written specifically for this program, which will be a world premiere. And then we'll collaborate on Brahms in the second half.
Right. So. And do you only play classical music, or do you venture into contemporary modern music?
I'll try anything once. I've done a few sort of sessional things where you go into a studio and you're playing for someone's pop album. The music that I sit down to practice every day that makes me most happy is sort of falls within that sort of Western classical contemporary art music sphere. But the boundaries between pop music in inverted commas and classical music seem to be becoming wavier and wavier as things go across. And I would wager that the music that people really, really enjoy listening to today is just as important and relevant as Schubert was.
Of course. That was a popular music.
He was the popular music. Yeah. Mozart or Beethoven, all of these people describe an inner truth, really, that anybody can kind of latch onto if they want to.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what's the concert called again?
It's called Friends by the Fireplace.
Okay, and it's on July 27th?
It's on July 27th at 7 p.m.
Yep.
at 75 Reed Street.
And how do you buy tickets?
You can buy tickets through... You can either look up my Facebook page, Luke Severn, S-E-V-E-R-N, or you can go straight to the Try Booking link. And if you go trybooking.com/BDING, you can find tickets there to see.
I reckon your name would probably be the safest one.
I reckon, yeah.
I don't know, B-Ding is pretty B-D- easy.
I was quite impressed with that. It's just a randomly generated code.
Luke, thank you so much for coming in, and can't wait to have you back in down the track when you're doing other major pieces.
Likewise,
yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Luke. You're here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ Community Radio Station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.